Hey, everybody, it's Shayna B, and I wanted to say thank you so much for checking out our bonus episode. If you listen to the last episode, we were talking about entrepreneurship with James Muhammad from Capo Steaks. And so in this episode, we're just going to continue the conversation. So we're going to start talking about some books and all kind of great things just about the grind. So thanks for listening, and here's the episode.
There was a lot of good books that really, because you're going through that metamorphosis of like, what do I need to do? What do I like? What do I want to learn? Earl Graves Sr. I don't know if he's still alive, the brother who started Black Enterprise. Mm-hmm. He had a great book, and it was very practical about doing businesses from, man. A real good book was years ago.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it was years ago. He was solid. And him, and like we spoke about, The Art of War for Business.
Yeah.
By Gary Gagliotti. People think it was just... And they got a few Art of Wars, but that one in particular is very, very practical. I love that
one. So I have that book. Again, I called. I'm like, I got the book. I ordered it probably as soon as I got to the office. And my friend's like, I'm looking for it. So my other friend has it. We're like working through the book. And here's the thing about like telling people. Like, you're a business owner and I'm a business owner. Right. They're a business owner. I said, we're going to read this book. Let's all read this book together. And they're like, I've already read Art of War. Thanks. And I'm like, but it's for, you know, and that hesitation of like, I don't need to learn that. I need to learn everything.
Man, let me tell you, it's crazy. That's where the humility comes from.
Yeah. Like, and so I don't want to read books that I know I'm already good at. Like, I can inspire and motivate you all day. So I don't need a library of buying. I need to learn more about motivating people.
Right.
I got that down pat.
Right. You know how to motivate. You know how to inspire.
If I need to learn how to do marketing, then I'm going to get me a marketing book.
You're going
to
get you a marketing book. But what I liked about that book was Small Business. It was so practical. Remember how we talked about how on one side it gave the military, but then with the business end, and it broke down what every person in business could relate to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what I loved about it. It was very practical.
Yeah.
And I like that. And, you know, it's funny because somebody come to me about a motivational speaking course.
But
it was literally, they wanted me to buy into them.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. Thank you. But, you know, we good. Stop by, get a cheesesteak. You know what I mean? Appreciate the opportunity. But the thing about it is, I love what I'm doing, but anybody I can affect, I don't even want it to become a business where it's like go out and speak. I give that game away because the game was given to me, and and I was willing to pay for it because the game is sold to you. It's not told to you. So when people give me, when Don King told me, I brought him to Chicago, and he said, Muhammad, learn to angle and square up. And I'm sitting next to him, and we posted up, and I got his security. He said, you pulled this off. He said, you pulled this off. You brought me here. And I was working with an organization called African American Contractors Association. He said, you got me here? And we took him to his plane, got him out of the limousine, and he was saying, if you do this, you can do anything. That just stuck with me.
Yeah.
Just that little bit of game, and that was my guy. That's just my guy. And being from Cleveland always helped. He was from Cleveland.
What other books you got before I go further? What books beside that, Art of War for Small Business?
Art of War for Small Business. There's another one, but it's very... Oh, now I'm going to tell you, my boy, my dude, that one of the coldest brothers who ever did it, Reginald Lewis.
Okay.
Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun? Yo, I mean, he's the one who bought... Beatrice, he had the first billion-dollar company in the 80s.
Oh,
and
wow.
McCall, that's one of the... And I'm going to tell you how inspired I was with this dude. I called Will Smith's production company, Overbrook Entertainment.
Okay.
And James Lasseter is his, like, CEO. And I wanted Will, because I love Will in Pursuit of Happiness.
Right.
I get teared up every time with it. I can't... And I met Chris Gardner, for real. Did you see the movie?
Yeah.
You know who he is?
Yes.
He's the guy walking at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Chris is solid. So, and he's in Chicago, Gardner Rich. So I met his son. And I cannot watch this movie without, and I thought I was tough, without crying when they had to sleep in that bathroom.
Yeah.
Yo, when I met him, I've been blessed to meet some people. Yo, I cringe, but that's one of the cult that
Why
brother.
Why should white guys have all the fun?
Man, yo, this dude, Oh my God, I want to go to law school after this dude. In fact, my daughter graduated from his alma mater, Virginia State.
Oh wow.
Yeah. He's got a museum in Baltimore. He's from Baltimore.
Okay.
And Cole brother, another Cole brother. But it's a lot of brothers and sisters getting money out here. But I wanted Will Smith to play him. I still hope they do that. Okay. I'm putting that right now live. And they never got back to me. I don't know if Jane, but I say, yo, Will Smith has to play Reginald Lewis.
Okay.
And if not Denzel or somebody, he has to play that story. Bruh, oh my goodness. And he's a legend. And we don't get, and you know who I heard a lot from, because Ben Chavis became a member of the Nation of Islam. Mm-hmm. And we was talking. He was Ben Chavis's lawyer in the early 70s. So Ben's giving me the game. He's talking about how powerful this brother was, man. He died in 1993, only 50.
Oh, wow.
With brain cancer, and people was like, yeah, whatever, we don't trust that, because the brother was so cold. His book, you talking about a hustler? As far as how he was getting businesses and buying businesses around the world, had his law firm 2 years out of law school on Wall Street.
Oh, wow.
Cold brother.
Wow.
Just so that one. But that's more of like, you know, biography. I guess that would be, because he didn't write it, so it wouldn't be
a biography.
It's a biography rather than an autobiography. But hey, listen, Cole brother, man. And in fact, they just did something, because my boy Joe Stills knew how much I loved him. They just did something on public access TV on him, maybe about a year ago.
Okay.
Just a Cole brother, man. Just a soldier.
So you told me on our first meeting, business is war. Remember that?
Yeah, business is war.
I get it.
What?
For folks that need to understand or unpack that.
Well, let's man, that's a great question. If I got, and that's why I gave you the auto war for small mm-hmm. business. I got McDonald's behind me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I got Rallies across the street from them.
Right.
I got Subway in that plaza. I got a gas station who think they got a good cheesesteak. And even though those corporations are not doing, I can't compete with them. I can be a nuisance at best.
Mm-hmm.
But they on another level.
Right.
But I can do an option that can take some of that money. So what happens is this. We all fighting for that same dollar in that same community.
Right.
That's war. So I have to market and sell myself accordingly to get their customers. I got to draw their customers to me. They may not feel it, but I'll feel it.
Right.
I know my personal economy.
Right.
So it is war. You threaten to take people's money out their pocket. That's another reason why we like to make it racial. They'll make it racial, but they don't want that business in there. You come in an established community, you're gonna pay high rent
mm-hmm.
to compete.
Right.
You're there to compete. You're not there to be cute. Nobody care about, hey, black business, business. Oh, that's cute. You here to take some money.
So. You've given me your books, and I think actually I'm reading this book online. Like, it looks like all
which
the
one?
Pages, the last one you just told me.
Oh,
Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun?
Yeah, man. It's my dude, man. I'm dude. And it's funny, the brother who gave me the book, this was 25 years ago, maybe. There was a brother who was a trader in Chicago. I said, try this, man. You're talking all this, man. Here, check this out. Man, that's for any brother who's a hustler and really on some fly. I'm trying to really take over the world and help my people, but it's above some board. We're going to do some real business.
Okay.
So it was Reginald Lewis. First and foremost, it was always, from a business point of view, my father always had the work ethic, always had that intelligence. I get a lot of that from my mom. My mom had the business mind. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Then I have Reginald Lewis and Don King. Those was my guys. And when I was trying to get into the oil tanker business, I studied Aristotle Onassis.
Nice.
The richest man in the world. His granddaughter is still one of the richest people mm-hmm. in the world.
So let's circle that back, because we're talking about our people and how sometimes, you know, our people are our people. The idea of studying someone that ain't our people. You know, like I had someone, I was reading a book, and they were like, them books is all good and all, but they not for black folks.
That's not true.
And I'm like,
it's not true at all.
What I said. Like, I'm almost
going
to get out of my office. But
right. That's that's so small-minded, because all those people who are not black but are successful in the realm that they're doing, it probably affects our life one way or the other.
Absolutely.
Bill Gates
mm-hmm.
with the computer. Warren Buffett, certain things you can learn. You're going to run into that level of success, so you should study. It doesn't matter where it comes from. If it's wisdom, you should. It don't mean you have to be white.
And I said that at some point, you know, no matter who you study, even, like, I love the fact that being here in Cleveland, and with this office being on Euclid, which is Old Millionaire Row, just the stories of what was built here, how millionaires came here, that whole Gilded Age and Rockefeller and all that.
Yeah, no doubt.
I said, but with all that, they left breadcrumbs behind. And when you think about your books, like your Think and Grow Rich, they tell you the story. Like, this is what I did. It's almost like a recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that, why wouldn't I read that book? If you're going to just merely say, this is what I did, this is how I bought my first tanker and became a millionaire. Usually the steps are so easy. Like, I did this. I talked to this kind of guy. I said, I want this kind of loan. Now, I get that we have our own obstacles in the way. But if you drop in breadcrumbs, why would I not follow them?
Hold on. So when these people say that, honestly, let's look at that. Because we're older. We're more mature. When these people are these people like 25 and on? Because I'm asking these questions because you've never gone to school. What, you never took a college course when you was in school? That's not necessarily authored by us.
No.
But you still get it.
Right.
You still qualify yourself according.
Yep.
So like, what are you? Nah, man. That's really baby language. You have to love yourself first and foremost. You have to have a knowledge of yourself first and foremost. But that civility and common sense and wisdom is not just attributed just for white folks. And it's not just attributed for us with black people. We let that rule us. It shouldn't rule us like that. And I'm as black. I'm black. I'm as black as they come. But nah, man, how you going to learn something? How you going to learn something? Even when I got into the cheesesteak game, Who you think partners? Who was able? Where was the people, or where were the people that had the trucks? I had to go do business. I'm black enough for all of us. I'm gonna supply black people with great food, service them with that, and I'm gonna employ black people. But I had to make deals.
Yeah.
I have to.
And you had to learn the business.
You had to learn the business. Whoever's gonna teach it, because that's my goal and my purpose. And I have to learn that. Now I don't have to be a coon. I don't have to sit there and kiss your ass. I'm just saying, when it comes down to it, that's small-mindedness. That's not going to get us anywhere.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Because how many white folks have built, and Arabs and Koreans have built their homes, their community, off the black dollar?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't say, hey, I ain't messing with that black dollar. They come get that money.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm not going to depend.
They need to talk to,
right, talk to
get the money.
To get the money. I just found out there's some a Russian family who owns daycares, black daycares.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Wow.
Found that out yesterday. Yes. I'm like, that's, see, now who you going to learn that from? Who's teaching your babies?
Right.
See, we're too smart, but that's a level of growth. You got to learn something about yourself. You got to recognize, I really need to know what my purpose is, and if I'm comfortable with myself, and I know my goal is to help myself, my own kind, and do business.
Right. Or even, I'm going to learn this.
Come on,
even,
man.
Even outside of the business skill. So, like, when the person told me that, I think I had the copy of Think and Grow Rich on my desk. And I'm like, I can't tell you how many people quote this book. Period.
Period.
Like, people say that book, like, period. It don't matter. But how you gonna say it ain't for us? I said, you know, if what's it? So I went to church on him. I said, if I'm meant to be, if God has ordained me that I'm gonna be a great success, you gonna tell me he's not gonna let it happen because I'm black? You know what I mean? Like, if I'm not gonna be
that's
gonna
be so small.
I said, so that whole idea, I'm like, you gotta go. But on the other hand, it don't matter what you wanna learn. I don't care if you just wanna learn for a hobby how to sew. You just gonna go learn this. You're not gonna be like, well, that's not a black owned business. I wish I could learn from a black. Yes, it'd be nice, but if there's not one around, you're going to learn.
But Shannon, that's the problem, because we don't own our accomplishments, our histories in this country. So what we do one or two things. We totally play the straight coon in inferiority and let somebody just run us and everything black is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or we sit here and we don't develop ourselves and our culture and say, and who we are, and say, I can learn from anybody. I'm helping my people. Right. See, that there's a real imbalance of that. Like, why would you care? Everything can't be. Now, when you own your accomplishments in your country, in the country that we built, we all sit at the table. I can learn that from you. I can learn that from. I know who I am. I know what my people did.
out there.
I'm not sitting, but we come in here with the, see what white people do.
Yep, and we shouldn't do that. Our first conversation you said was therapy for you, and I think this one is for me, because I'm thinking about this conversation. Someone just told me that they were like, oh, that's Shayna, she does the white people stuff. And so I told my friend, I'm like, that's awesome, because number one, you know who I am, like, yay me. But on the other hand, you missed all of what we do.
She does the black, the white girl stuff, or the white people stuff.
She goes to the white people places.
But you're a black girl in Cleveland.
Right, but I don't get to, you only do the white people stuff.
What?
And I'm like, no, I just go places.
You go play, you involved with the Urban League. What do we, see?
So I thought, first of all, but number one, you know who I am. Number two, though, you don't know what I do.
You really
let's
don't.
Say I go into this space. Let's say I'm sitting at the City Club. I'm learning some knowledge that nobody else is in there. I might be the only black person in the City Club.
But you there.
Right, and when I learn that knowledge, I might learn something to be like, hey, Capital Stakes, they talking about doing this at
Come
the City
on,
Club.
But you there.
And so that idea that,
exactly,
you know, to be able to code switch and fit in, like, I think that's a great thing. Because I can learn
it's
from
real.
Anywhere.
It's real.
As opposed
it's
to, like, sorry, I'm the only black person in the City Club. I ain't going there.
You should, right, you
and
should
then
never.
And then you're going to change the law, then, and I can't work.
Come on, now. You going to put yourself in a situation where, I used to be like, oh, man, politics don't matter with the money. When we actually were able to get more exposure, and I was dealing with the politicians, I know my politician locally has been very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even about the business, but showing me, watch out for this, do this.
Yep.
Down to the, here's this guy's cell number. Call him to let him know what this problem is, that you're being overcharged. Where I would have never got his.
Yep.
I would have got a manager between a manager. He said, here's his cell phone, call him. And you tell him, I sent you.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
My man.
Yep.
My dude. Like, you would have, he had so many buffers between them, but, and it was handled. That works, dude. And see, we have to take on the whole thing. We have to be willing to grow. Now, you don't have to compromise. I don't believe, you don't have to compromise. I never liked the term when I was younger. Sometimes you got to eat shit or kiss ass. I don't do that. That's not what I do. You might do that. Don't know where you're from. Never was into that kind of thing. But no, we have to, you don't have to compromise who you are as a black person or a black man or black woman, but you also don't have to come in carrying that banner because of inferiority. You don't have to do, it's like, yo, it is what it is. I'm here to learn some stuff. I know a lot of black people who were super pro-black, was into all kind of different things dealing with white folks, listening to white folks. We've been listening to white folks for 400 years, and all of a sudden, you're not listening to them.
Right. And I'm like, they've done, and many, you know, I just told somebody, I said, you know, with the movie Harriet out, there are white people that are part of the Underground Railroad. We weren't going to be like, I ain't going in that house. Like,
well, the thing about it is,
if
it's good help. My point of it is this, I'm super pro black. I just, as you are. And my thing of it is in doing so, we're talking about wisdom and growing the brand as a black person, and I'm black. But if it means different revenues or streams of income I can use to develop my business, I'm going to use them.
And help the community.
I don't feel no, let me tell you something, I don't feel no type of way, because I know for sure if black people didn't see me on television, honest to God, if black people didn't see them white folks sitting in that restaurant, a lot of them wouldn't even walk in.
Right.
See, I know how we are. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, I would love if it was 100% black money, white money. But I know our psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
So don't run that on me.
Right.
We grown. Don't start that, because that goes back to, what have you done? Now we got to get on that page. What's your history?
Yep. What's your impact?
You know what I mean? And because I don't even play that, because we've been listening, like if somebody was, I said, come on, sis, don't even, or bruh, that don't even make no sense. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is our country. No matter whatever, say, as bad as white folks have been to us, there's still a sense of order. We have to understand and know things in order to go back and help our community. You just can't be just doing something. And where are we going with it?
Right.
You may have been doing it for 10 years, recognize I ain't making no money.
Right. I was reading this book, behind you, Secret of Millionaire Mind by T. Harv
Eker. Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, I love that book. And he makes a statement about, and same in Leapfrog, that sometimes, like you said, my boy said, here's a cell phone, call him, he'll talk to you. How we are trained, many of us are trained, black or white, like that's a shortcut. You don't want to call them. You want to, like, and it's that idea that
Really?
Like, yeah, people are like, no, like, don't do that. That's a short. You shouldn't be doing that. And I'm like, no, it's totally legal. Like, why wouldn't I? Just the idea, even with, we were talking about, somebody was talking about government assistance. And they were saying, like, when they went through entrepreneurship, like, they had a really rough patch and they weren't going to apply for benefits. They had no money. They trying to feed their family. And, you know, the whole, like, the shame of that, because your family was like, no, we don't take that. We don't want handouts. Feed your family.
Hold on. For one, it's a reason for government assistance should help people who are in need. And for us to say one way or the other, I don't believe, I understand the pride issue. I don't believe you should use it if you need it, you've paid into it.
Absolutely.
And second of all, but I don't believe that we should become so dependent.
Oh, absolutely.
That's forever. And that's the whole point. I totally get what you're saying, and I totally agree with you on that.
Or, like, don't call. Like, you shouldn't call them. You need to just write a letter and go through the proper
Man, if you, let me tell you something. If you can, white farmers get subsidies on white women when they're these white women farmers or their husbands gone, they get subsidies. Mm-hmm. We have this thing, we're either too proud or we're too dependent. Yo. Mm-hmm. Stop.
The same. It's back and forth.
Yeah, it's back. Issue. Yeah. Yo, well, stop it. We have to focus on. And this is just to say, we don't want to deal. Let's go back to the psychosis. We don't want to deal with the fact that Shayna Black has to deal with everybody to get the business going, so she can help our people. That's a black woman with black children. She knows what it's like to be black. So I'm a black man with black children. I know what this is about, but we don't want to talk about the hard work of building community, period. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do it. So we're like, oh, I want to go do this, that, and the third. If that person goes somewhere else and gets some money to help our community, why are you mad? Why are you mad? And what have you done? What was your hookup? Well, y'all didn't link. So the thing about now, I'm not flagging... or waving the flag of, oh, we need white folks for everything. No,
right.
The white man. I'm not waving that flag of the white Jesus, but I'm saying too straight, yo, we got to do business. And I don't take nothing off my wall when white folks or black folks come. You and your feelings, you better come get this cheese steak and keep it moving. And my thing of it is, we get too much into that because there's an underdevelopment. There's a lot of jealousy and anger and envy. Mm-hmm. We don't stand on that, and we don't want to put the work in it because we want to feel like, ah, these niggas ain't going to do nothing down here.
Right.
Look at these Negroes down here. I'm not like, it ain't about just you. Mm-hmm. It's not just about you. I had this conversation yesterday. He said, well, a lot of times financial literacy, I said, hold on, bro. Financial literacy is all about if you've taken care of a home.
Right.
That gives you a certain amount of intelligence how to take care of a business.
Right.
If you raise children.
Right.
And who we choose as our wives, just like who our women choose as their husband, has a lot to do with where we go. And if you're the type of dude who just like fine women, and I just deserve to have fine women, and you got superficial cars, you're not going to know what it's like to build nothing.
Mm-hmm. Are you right?
So.
All right, so. Three questions. We'll wrap this up. Number one, what do you think is needed for black entrepreneurship here in Cleveland to grow or thrive?
Look where there's a demand and supply.
Okay.
If you're an entrepreneur and you see they're tearing down houses, mm-hmm. they're rebuilding houses, a lot of monies are going into, I know, but in particular in my area, Glenville, Buckeye, mm-hmm.
Huff,
Newtown. I would immediately, a young man asked me the other day this. I thought it was good. He was humble, though. What would you do? Here's some game. If you're not sure what you want to do, you like working with your hand. Go to Tri-C. Mm-hmm. They have trades for mm-hmm. a year or two. And it's a building boom going on in Cleveland. Unlike, it's already saturated in Chicago. Saturated. It's going to get to Detroit, but it's not there. Cleveland's booming. Get a trade. Perfect yourself, and then open up your own business.
Yep. Okay.
That's what I would say. Okay. Supply and demand.
What's your biggest lesson you've learned in this journey of entrepreneurship for yourself?
And I'm proud of myself. I didn't used to be proud of myself. I'm proud of the hard work. All of it pays off.
Okay.
That's what I learned. Everything you do towards your purpose and knowing your purpose plays off. You could be a great husband. You could be a great provider. But if you know, as a man, if you're not in tune with your purpose, you're never going to be happy. So I'm proud of myself in the sense of what would have looked like a risk before. I took it and it brought out who I was. So if it's, you know, take the risk.
Okay. It might be the same answer to this question, but what do you have to say to people or people that are just starting out as an entrepreneur or they're thinking about it?
Think about it more.
Okay.
Study it more. And really get in tune with your fears. And I have a plaque right by my counter. I don't know if you've seen it. Right by the door when you know where it says, when you become fearless, life becomes limitless.
Mm. I did see that. I think I took a picture of it.
It's real right.
Yes.
I got another one that says, it's the one in the corner. Loyalty is an expensive gift. Don't waste it on cheap people.
Yes. Took a picture of that one.
Yeah.
Because I sent it to my friends. Like, look at this.
That goes back to what you said earlier. I think that, and I'm a work in progress. That's what you're going to, that's the biggest lesson. I'm a work in progress. I may be doing this. I love doing what I do. I may be doing this for the next 30 years, but I'm always open to diversify. And my wife knows, she's been around me. She's funny. She said, I'm never surprised by what you say. You know what I mean? So. Okay.
Well, I thank you.
No, I thank you. I had so much fun with you, man. You my girl. I got a new sister, man.
Yeah, like I said, we probably talk every few months, but it lasts. Like, I can sit there and be like,
We're on the same page.
I'm looking at my phone for that picture because I know I sent it to people. But thank you for your time.
Thank you, sis.
Have a great holiday.
You have a great one as well.
Capital State. Tell us where you are.
Happy 10509 St. Clair, right in the Glenville Town Plaza. Right next, I'm right behind the East Side Market. So when you come into the plaza, I'm right there. It was formerly the old Popeyes about 5 years ago. Starting off, let's go into the new year real strong. God bless you and your families.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. Please check us out online at www.blackgirlincle.com and like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at blackgirlincle. This podcast was recorded in Cleveland, Ohio, with post-production by the talented interns at Black Girl Media. Copyright 2019, all rights reserved and retained by Black Girl Media, LLC. Talk to you next time.